This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer. Okay, our Bible reading is from Luke's Gospel, and we want to listen out for this question that Jesus asks whenever he is in the company of others. It says, Luke chapter 7, starting verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house, reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I've something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You've judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from that time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
So, questions Jesus asks, that's a great topic. And it's something that we think about a lot in Storehouse. So, what questions does Jesus ask of us in relation to those with a lived experience of poverty, those who are vulnerable or whose society is pushed to the margins? How do we reach out to people in those situations in a dignified way that honours their God-given significance? What is our posture? Are we going in thinking we're givers, or are we open to receiving ourselves? Jesus, of course, tells us that he is represented in the hungry and the naked and the imprisoned in Matthew chapter 25, where he says, what you do for the least of these, you do for him. And I find that to be true on countless occasions, that Jesus is represented. He's there already in the margins of our society. I've been found guilty myself of going out to the vulnerable in our society thinking I'm bringing Jesus there to them, but I find that many times Jesus is already there and he meets me powerfully in those moments. And I mentioned our Christmas hamper deliveries earlier, and I know that many of you here will have done those, where you've gone out with our Christmas hamper and delivered it to somebody's house, and it can be a deeply humbling experience. And I mean, not this past Christmas, the Christmas before, Joy and I and the boys went to deliver a hamper to an elderly man, and we were invited into his house. He wanted to give something back to us. He was so grateful for what we had brought to him, and he brought us into his little tiny bare living room with just a little sofa there, and he saw the boys and he was just delighted and shook everybody's hand. And he went to his kitchen cupboard, again, not much in the kitchen cupboard, but up in the top of the cupboard there was a little jar of coins that he'd obviously been saving, and he took his jar of coins down and he gave a coin to each of our boys. It was deeply humbling. He couldn't afford that. You know, it was like the widow's mite giving out of her poverty. He wanted to give. And our whole family was affected by that, and we still talk about it. And that's what I'm talking about. Jesus meets us in those moments. It's not us going in saying, we're going to sort this out. We're going to save this person. And there's something about that in many passages that actually we read about in the Gospels. This passage, there's kind of four different accounts, similar accounts in the four different Gospels. And we've chosen the one in Luke because it does ask that very direct question. But we find that Jesus is saying, here's somebody who's doing the right thing, but it's maybe not the person you're expecting. And here's the person you maybe expect is doing the right thing, but they're not. And it's a challenge that he lays down to all of us. And it's really highlighted here. So how might Jesus be challenging our way of thinking today? Well, here's some things that I see that have challenged me from this passage. And the first one is the question, who is Jesus inviting you to see? So Jesus asks Simon, do you see this woman? So on one level, of course Simon sees the woman. That's why he's complained about it. Okay, so he sees the woman. But that's not really the question. It's about how he sees the woman. So he doesn't see the woman the way Jesus sees her. So that's the contrast that Jesus is trying to bring. And who is Jesus inviting you to see? That you can maybe see, but you're not seeing the way Jesus sees them. So who is this woman in your world? Who are the people you have written off? Is it the refugee? Is it the drug addict? Is it the ex-prisoner? And you can only see them as Simon sees this woman. But Jesus asks you to see them differently. Simon appeared to have the attitude, you know, that Jesus, he's a carpenter's son, he should just be glad to be allowed into this gathering of much more important people. Simon hadn't afforded him the courtesy of water to wash his feet, which would have been a basic courtesy in those days. He hadn't shown him the sign of respect that a kiss would have demonstrated, and he certainly hadn't anointed his head with oil, which would be reserved for high honor. But the woman, she did all those things. She saw Jesus rightly, and she gave him high honor. So Jesus doesn't simply see her. He accepts her. He accepts her gift. He uses her act of love for him to make the point to Simon and to us, maybe today. He invites people to participate in his kingdom, no matter their background. Can you see people that way? There's an American, he's a Jesuit priest, and he works in inner city Los Angeles, and he's written a great book called Tattoos in the Heart. He's called Greg Boyle, and there's a great quote from his book. And it says, here is what we seek. A compassion that can stand in awe at what the poor have to carry, rather than stand in judgment at how they carry it. So think about that. Who might God be highlighting to you now? Is it the refugee? Is it the drug addict? Is it the ex-prisoner? Is it the ex-paramilitary? Do you stand in awe of what they have to carry? Or are you standing in judgment at how they carry it? We had a guy who came to Storehouse, and he had a very difficult background. He'd suffered rejection by his family. He'd suffered abuse by family members from a very early age. And he'd taken to alcohol to numb the pain. And on his bad days, he could be pretty bad when he came into Storehouse. But on his good days, he had this beautiful servant's heart. And he really wanted to help. He wanted to help other people. So we tried to see him how Jesus would see him, and we asked, how could we bring him in? So we asked him, would you come and help us with our breakfast, the community breakfast on the Wednesday morning? Would you come and help us in the kitchen? And it started off with simple things. Could you make a pot of coffee? Could you bring out this bowl of fruit? Could you do the dishes? And the day that we asked him, I remember he grew like 10 feet tall. He thought, I could do something. And he took to it straight away, and he loved to make sure that like everyone had a cup of coffee. And I was talking to him one Wednesday morning when he'd come in, and he just said to me, you know, I didn't drink last night because I knew that I had to come here this morning because you needed me to be here for the breakfast. And again, there's very little that would have stopped him having a drink, but the responsibility that he'd been given, the opportunity to contribute, was a reason. And so we realized we had to get more involved, and we asked him to volunteer on other days, and eventually he was just coming every day and just doing whatever we needed him to do. And some days he came in the worse for wear in a really bad way, and we couldn't let him volunteer. But we spent time with him, because always on those days he would say that he'd let us down, that he'd let the people down that were coming in, and we had to remind him that we loved him, not what he did. That wasn't who he was. And our volunteer teams, they learnt so much from working with this guy. They learnt about the joy. They learnt about the pain. You know, tragically, this guy lost his battle with addiction a couple of years back. So he collapsed outside our building while he was waiting for us to open up. We hadn't even got there, and he was waiting to come in and serve our city. And he collapsed, and he didn't recover. But, you know, he died knowing that we accepted him as he was, whether it was one of his good days or his bad days. Most people had actually given up on this guy because he just had one too many bad days. But Jesus still loves us, no matter whether we're having a good day or a bad day. And he loves those on the margins of our society, no matter how many bad days they have. Can we do that? Well, I would say not without a transformed heart. And Jesus seeks to transform your heart in this. Jesus sees right into our hearts. He sees into the heart of the woman. He sees what's behind her act of love. And he sees the flaws in Simon's heart. And he addresses him with questions that try and just sort of reorientate Simon's heart. Don't forget, he also transforms the woman's heart. So he forgives her sins. He acknowledges that her faith, and he invites her to go in peace. And it can be easy to see people coming into Storehouse or people that we encounter in the city as problems to be solved, and not people that we can have a transformational relationship with. We can be just like Simon. He could only see the problem. He could only see the problem with this woman, that she lived a sinful life. And he couldn't see her as a person. He could only judge her and Jesus. But Jesus knew she lived a sinful life. But he saw her actions for what they were, an act of love, and ultimately an act of faith in him. In verse 50, Jesus tells her, "Your faith has saved you." Jesus saw the woman's actions as an opportunity to connect with her and also to teach Simon a lesson. But he teaches Simon from a place of connection as well. It's across the dinner table. And looking at the context of Storehouse, if we see the problem in Belfast that people are hungry, then we'll just give them food and we'll think, well, that's that sorted. But we don't have an opportunity to connect with anyone. And there's an American author called Shane Claiborne, and he wrote about the danger of churches only addressing that material need, only addressing the problem and not the people. So you can get it up. So he says, the church then becomes a distribution center. It's a place where the poor come to get stuff and the rich come to dump stuff. Both go away satisfied. The rich feel good. The poor get clothed and fed. But no one leaves transformed. It's transformation that Jesus is seeking from this encounter. He's seeking to transform the woman. He's seeking to transform Simon. Let's look at the poor and marginalized as an opportunity for transformation on both sides and not as a problem to be solved. The problem might just be solved in the transformation. The third thing I notice from this passage is, I think there's a question that Jesus is asking Simon. Well, you think you've got it all figured out. Sinful woman, shouldn't be here. But I see you don't. And this comes up a lot in the Gospels, that Jesus is correcting the people who think they know they've got it all together, in this case, Simon. And he praises the people who others have discounted, in this case, the woman. And Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians, and he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.'" When we started Storehouse back in 2008, we actually thought we were going to eliminate food poverty in Belfast. That's what we said at the time. I remember it clearly. And hopefully within a couple of years, we get it sorted. No more food poverty. Nobody going hungry. And we could move on to solving the next problem. But what we actually found that Jesus had to transform our hearts. You know, I've been changed more by being involved in Storehouse than probably anyone who's come to get help with our services. I'm a fixer by personality, so when I first encountered people coming into Storehouse with like complex issues, my natural inclination is to think, right, how can we fix that? How can we sort that? Yeah, we could do that. But Jesus is teaching me the power of getting alongside people. Not trying to sort out the practical issues and say, that's sorted, let's move on. Move on to the next person. But trying to listen to people, to stick with them. That's actually much harder. We have a saying in the Vineyard Church. It's, you are the project. You are the project. I thought Storehouse was the project. But actually God was working in my heart. My heart was the project. And he showed me a lot about how people that I had discounted could actually contribute. And it got to the point where I was volunteering in Storehouse up until about 6 years ago, 6 years ago, that I actually left my job that I was in, my career, and I started to work for Storehouse because I wanted to find, how can more people contribute in our city? How can more people that we have discounted actually contribute? How can they be empowered? That's the work of Storehouse, and that's the work I see Jesus doing in this passage. He's empowering people. And the last thing I wanted to look at was, do you understand how much you've been forgiven? Because that comes up in this passage, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. That was Jesus talking to Simon. And we often take it as like Jesus is saying to Simon, well, you haven't done much wrong, so you only had to be forgiven a little bit. Therefore, he doesn't love Jesus as much as the woman loves him. And the woman demonstrates that love through her actions. And there's some truth in that. But I also think that Jesus is inviting Simon to consider his own understanding of forgiveness. Perhaps Jesus is saying to Simon, you think you've only been forgiven a little, but actually you have no idea the depth and the breadth of my forgiveness of you. But because you don't understand how much I have forgiven you, you can't love much. So because Jesus didn't understand how much he'd been forgiven, he couldn't love much. You can't love Jesus much, and you can't love others much. And I think Jesus is saying to Simon that you could only love this woman if you understand what I've done for you. Do you see this woman, Simon? Do you have compassion for this woman? And in the moment, the answer was no. But it's because Simon didn't understand how much he'd been forgiven. What does Jesus say to you today? Do you see this refugee? Do you see this drug addict? Do you see this ex-prisoner? Do you think you're in a better position than them in my eyes, in Jesus' eyes? Do you think that you're higher up in the pecking order of the kingdom of God? There is no pecking order. You're all equal. You've all been forgiven much. We haven't been forgiven a little, we've been forgiven much, and therefore we should love much. And that's the challenge that I think is laid down to Simon, and it's laid down to us today. Do you understand how much you've been forgiven? The depth and breadth of that forgiveness and what Jesus has done for you? And if you do, then you can love much. Because we can't do this on our own. I've been there. I'm there every day. I see the complex needs and the problems that are coming in through Storehouse every day. I can't sort that out. Jesus can. And I need to look to him. If I try and do that on my own, I'm not going to last very long. And it might just be that we have to spend time with people on the margins to understand that reality that Jesus is presenting to us. And this isn't me on like a recruitment drive for Storehouse. Nigel's already done that. Good job. And you don't even have to get involved in Storehouse. It's just asking you, what is the next step? How could you get involved in the life of someone who is experiencing poverty, experiencing isolation, someone who's been pushed to the margins of our society? And you just might find that you meet Jesus in those encounters and that you understand more about his love and forgiveness for you and how he's inviting you to respond to that love. It's something that I want to take a bit of time to think about, give us a bit of space. Is there someone, maybe there's someone that you've seen at the school gate, you think I should go and talk to that person? They look a bit lonely. Maybe there's someone where you work, or maybe you work in the city centre and there's someone that sleeps in your doorway every night and you have to step over them in the morning. What would it look like to connect with them? Because that's what I see Jesus doing when I read the Gospels, and that's that's transformational for you, and it's transformational for the other person. So I just want to leave a bit of space. I'm going to pray for us, and I just want to leave a minute or two for you. I'll just leave those questions up on the screen, if it helps for you just to focus in on those questions. And we just want to create some space, and then I'll pray again at the end to close. I believe there's also a prayer space that you have over here, so if you want someone to pray for you afterwards, then we'd love to do that as well. So, but let me just pray for us. So come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank you that you are here. We just thank you that you speak to each one of us. And we just open our hearts to you. We just ask you to show us what you're asking us to do. What is the next step that we can take for you? And as we ponder that, Jesus, would you just remind us of your infinite love for us? Would you just reveal to us how much you have forgiven us, that we have been forgiven much, and show us what that means in our lives and how we can love you more and we can love others more because of that. So just speak to us now in your mighty name. Amen.
Aidan, I want to thank you for sharing with us this morning, and I want to reinforce what Aidan's already said. A big thank you to those in our church family who take the time to engage with the work of Storehouse in different ways. Peter, pass on to Joanne our thanks for what she does with the clothes department. And Andrew Mooney's here this morning, and he has been involved in the early morning trips from the warehouse, bringing food down. Nigel's here. Manus, unfortunately, has been unwell this week. He's sorry, he can't be here. He's another champion of the work of Storehouse. So we want to thank you, and thank you to everybody who just weekly, when you're doing your shop, picks up an extra item, whatever it be, and put it in the larder. Those things all contribute to this movement of reaching out to others in love, because as Aidan has reminded us, we've been loved much. I'm going to invite Nigel now. He's going to come up and he's going to pray for the work of Storehouse, and then we're going to close our service by singing together in a moment.
Let us pray. Father God, we bow before you now, broken souls in a broken world. Still our hearts, Lord, as we pray for others and seek your grace that knows no understanding. Each day we hear of so much killing and tragedy in our world. In so many places, our inhumanity toward each other is as inevitable as it is breathtaking. From Ukraine to Israel and Gaza, to the many other conflicts across our world, we pray that hostilities will end and that peace will be restored, no matter how fragile. We pray for wise heads at the negotiating table and for various charities and aid agencies doing what they can to feed and provide medical and other support to all those caught up in the devastation and destruction. I wonder how we would feel if one morning we looked on our phone or TV screen or out of our window to see tanks trundling down the Malone Road, or our beloved church building damaged or even destroyed by a rocket attack. Lord, hear our cry for peace. Father God, closer to home, we continue to pray for our restored assembly and for our political leaders and MLAs. There is much to be done, so we pray that they will work in harmony for the common good. Dear Lord, we pray for our own church family. We pray for those who are sick and unwell at the moment. May they know that they are loved by us and by you, Lord. And we pray they will be restored to full health soon. We pray for all those who are grieving. We think especially of the Rainey family. May they know your peace and comfort at this difficult time. We thank you for the continuing work of the many charities across Northern Ireland and for the Christian charities close to the heart of this congregation. And today we pray especially for the work of Storehouse as they strive in your name to bring dignity, provision and hope to so many in need across our city. We're delighted to have Aidan with us today and his family, and Aidan to tell us more about that work and how we can continue to support Storehouse. Lord, we pray for Aidan, his colleagues and all the volunteers. Give them the courage and strength to keep on keeping on in your precious name. And on this Mother's Day, we pray for mothers everywhere, past and present. We thank them for their unconditional love, devotion and resilience. We pray for Catherine, a mother, as we mark her 10th anniversary as our minister. We also remember and pray for our minister emeritus, the Reverend Derek Bowden, and his wife Margaret. In closing this time of prayer, I share the yielding prayer from the morning devotional in Lectio 365, part of the 24/7 online prayer movement. Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.